he wasn't, you know, in the path of the goalie, and the goalie at the last second steps back and hits him. And you know, I didn't know anything about it, but after when I come in and I see replays of him doing it in other times and running out and hitting players, then you know it's a pattern.
It definitely sucks. It's quite frankly, kind of just a play that happened. It was unnecessary and dirty, and yeah, you just feel for Bath.
All right, you know, the league's going to take a look at this, Sam. What, if anything, should the league do about that hit from Aaron Dahl?
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. Tonight, I'm your host, Raj, Mike Rogerson. I'm not going to be bringing the Jager Bomb energy the way our good brother Zach did the other night, but probably on a bit mellower of a trip here, but I'll get you the info nonetheless. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. You can also follow us on YouTube. All of our episodes are showing up there now. And join us on our Discord channel. 1,300 people or something in there talking hockey literally 24/7. So people talking hockey, fantasy hockey. We discuss barbecue very often. Show off your favorite hockey jerseys and hockey cards, whatever. Kind of just like a hockey hangout. What we're going to do tonight, speaking of the Discord, we as in me and you, I guess, we've taken a bunch of questions from the Discord, Trends Day Wednesday, and narrowed it down to the top 8 players that people have been asking about who want to hear a little bit of info on. I mean, Zach did a pretty thorough and emphatic energized injury report the other night, so I won't bother running through all that stuff, and you know it's going to be different by the morning anyways. But big one for me, JT Miller came back. Obviously, huge fantasy implications there. RNH is back, which is massive for the Oilers. Obviously, they've been struggling without him. Definitely the centerpiece of the second half of their team, right? So people are noticing how much RNH means to that team. You know, he is definitely a viable fantasy option. So if people had dropped him while he's been out, try to pick him up. You know, there's guys like him. There's guys like Barry. McDavid's been under a point per game for a month, which is crazy. I think 8 games, he's only 7 points in his last 8 games. The sky is falling. Obviously, that's fine by anyone else's standards, but, you know, we all know what's going on with the Oilers. The whole team's in the dumps. So having RNH coming back, Koskinen got a good, solid win the other day. I think, you know, Barry's been a piece of shit. It's still a gamble, but I think it's a safe gamble, fairly safe gamble. I mean, if it was safe, it wouldn't be called a gamble, but a fairly safe shot with a humongous upside. If you are thinking that all of these things start to click, I mean, you saw how the Oilers were at the beginning of the season. If you could buy low on a Barry right now, it could be just a total disaster of a season for him. But, you know, after that power play performance last year, it's the same guys on it this year. I just can't see it not working again. And you know, when the dam bursts, between all the offensive power they've got, if Barry starts clicking, I mean, Bouchard's been sharp. All I really mean here, I kind of got off track, stoned. But all I was really getting at with that is with the RNH coming back, I would look to see Edmonton start to turn things around. And I think some of the early season heroics might not come all the way back, but I think they're going to end up in the playoffs. But the upside is like what we saw at the beginning of the season when they were just ripping it up. So keep your eye out for Oilers. But I don't want to talk about injuries. I want to get into the trends.
Good job, Duncan!
So we're going to take a look, like I said, at some players that were brought up in the Discord. We have a channel in our Discord where people can drop in suggestions of who they want to hear about on these Tuesday episodes. And the first man up, I saw in person the other night, actually. I saw the Canucks Blues game. First one up is David Perron. David Perron. He's been slow. 1 point in his last 6 games. No 5-on-5 points in a while. He's a good player. I personally really dislike him, but he is a very good player. St. Louis is, I don't know, I saw them, I mean, the Canucks had half of their team missing. It was Mikey DiPietro's first game. He did, we'll say fine. But the truth of the matter is St. Louis looked like a man's team, and the Canucks looked like boys. It was that much of a difference, like just size-wise. I'm really high on St. Louis, especially, you know, we're going to talk about their goalies in a bit here, but I can only imagine Perron's going to turn it around, probably hit about a 70-point pace for for the rest of the season. He could even be higher than that, but I think about a 70-point pace. So good. The whole team is just so good. Playing with Ryan O'Reilly, Braden Schenn's back, hot as hell. They're all on the power play. Tarasenko's having a good season. So I can only imagine, I mean, Perron, O'Reilly, Schenn, Tarasenko, and then I guess Krug is the PP1. That's pretty solid. And that's kind of a really reliably solid bunch. So in terms of Perron, he's on a bit of a slump right now, but I think that's all it is. And I'd personally put a stamp on him coming back. So, I mean, on the season, Perron's got 21 points in 29 games. Not outstanding. He gets about a hit a game, which is nice. Couple of shots a game. But I just feel like St. Louis is a really good team, and they're starting to get everybody back. Like, we saw them when they won the Stanley Cup. I mean, they literally went worst to first. They're much better than that already, but they are the type of team, experienced, big playoff team. So I can see them having a really strong second half. So yeah, I'm fully into David Perron in terms of fantasy. And he's very buy low. He's 70% rostered right now. So you might want to throw him as an afterthought in a trade kind of thing. I don't know. You know, people were asking. That's what I think. Next player up. There's been a lot of talk about this guy lately, and for really good reason. Mats Zuccarello. Cheers to news feeds for bringing up Zuccarello. He's just, God, he's just on something, man. He has 5 multi-point games in a row. So in the last 5 games, he's got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 points in the last 5 games. And then before that, he was going point per game for a bunch of games before that. So, I mean, he's still only 63% rostered. He is the type of guy who's like, pun intended, he is wildly inconsistent. You know, he goes from this, I mean, this is probably the best he's ever played right now. But he does go completely AWOL sometimes as well. But he's definitely on the good end of his cycle. And I think Minnesota's really fine in their stride. The whole team's really good. Both goalies are playing well. As Zach was saying, I mean, you have to trust the Wild now. They're a real team, totally legit. And I think it could continue for a while. You know, I mean, 2 points a game every game is a little hard to believe, but absolutely 75-point pace the rest of the way, maybe. I mean, the way Minnesota's playing, this is going to be Zuccarello's career year. You know, a veteran, he's been around for a while, playing with a lot of young guys. Good mix. I mean, we were joking a lot about what the hell Bill Guerin was on when he was making some of the moves over the last few years, but he sure put this together. I mean, in the last bit here, Zuccarello's been playing with Hartman and Kaprizov. So there you go. What more do you want than that? You know, they're getting 21% of the ice time. So the top 3 lines in Minnesota are basically rolling, and then their 4th line plays significantly less. But yeah, Zuccarello, Hartman, Kaprizov, fantastic. Just you know, you got the young Superman there in Kaprizov. You've got Zuccarello, and then you've got Hartman, who's just having, you know, a career season for him as well. Like I said, Zuccarello, don't expect this kind of ridiculousness of scoring 2 points in every single game. You know, he's shooting 4 times a game. Doesn't do much for hits and blocks and stuff like that, but it doesn't even matter when you're playing like this. 63% rostered. If you can find him on the wire, he's absolutely a must get. Hang on for a while, and like, legit, he's probably going to be as good as a lot of guys for the rest of the season. So don't expect to drop him right away if you do manage to get a hold of him. Love Zuccarello. I don't like the Wild. I mean, that's a big bandwagon right now. Their bandwagon's about as full as it gets, but for good reason. They're playing fantastic, and we've seen it coming for a couple of years, and it's all coming together now that they unloaded all that. Big old dead weight. I shouldn't call it like Suter. It's not really dead weight, but basically. So, Zuccarello, get him, man. Big requests to talk about, or probably say continue talking about, Josh Norris and Drake Batherson. Mr. Newsfeeds, full newsfeed full of suggestions here with bringing up the Norris and Batherson as well. Thanks a lot, buddy. We've all been really high on Ottawa. I mean, this year for sure. Last year it was starting to come together, and you know, they got a long way to go for wins, but it's a fantasy team. They've got some players, and these are two of them. But there was a big event in between me making these notes and me hitting record.
It's not good news.
news for Drake Batherson. An ankle injury, which they're calling long-term. He's going to miss next week's All-Star game after that collision with Sabres goalie Arundel. Sneaky little shoulder right there. The Sens didn't like it one bit. And as Batherson,
that big event being Drake Batherson getting absolutely cheap-shotted by Arundel. Pretty brutal. Batherson flying around behind the net, and Dell just gave him a little shove and hit him into the boards. His leg bent all ugly. Believe the coach said already by the end of the game, like, he's definitely out till after the All-Star break. So hopefully it's not too bad. I mean, the kid was on fire this year. So I'll go ahead with the notes I was going to talk about here. And then, you know, keep that in mind that Batherson is out. Might as well take a look at them together. They've actually been very, very similar. Now, a big thing that happened this season as opposed to last season, I think we are all pretty sure Batherson was going to continue his progression from last year and start to become a really solid all-around player. He hits a lot. But this year, he's moved to the wing as opposed to center. So he's been playing right wing with Norris in the center, and that has really paid dividends for both of those guys. Norris has been scoring a ton of goals. And I mean, just Tkachuk on the other wing, that is, oh man, it's like one of my favorite lines in hockey. Batherson, Norris, and Tkachuk. They all hit. They shoot. Good times. Taking a look at one of our categories leagues here on Five Hole, one of our listener leagues. And looking at Ottawa, and the three guys, Tkachuk, Batherson, Norris, are all having great years. Josh Norris, in 34 games played, he's got 26 points, which is decent. 18 goals, though. He's definitely become the goal scorer on the team this year. And if you have a face-off wins league, I'm in a couple of leagues that included face-off wins this year. Some days I love it, some days I hate it. But on teams I have Josh Norris on, I like it. He takes a lot of face-offs, over a hit a game, over a block a game. He's only 57% owned, so you can still get him. That top line plays a ton. They're all up around 19 minutes. They get a few PIMs as well, and they are also the power play. So, loving Josh Norris. Remember, all this is with the caveat that Batherson's now out. You know, he was up to 33 points in 30 games, so he was over a point per game pace and getting you some PIMs, leading the team with 10 power play points and about two hits a game. A little less blocks. So good. Another just great all-around player, these guys. Ottawa's really put together a similar group of guys. I like it a lot. They started the season with Tkachuk missing, and now Batherson's missing. We'll see how much that affects the production of Norris and Tkachuk. I think it'll be okay. Really hoping they just move Stutzla up there to that line. I know he usually plays the left side. Batherson usually plays the right side, but I'm sure they can work it out for me one way or another. I still feel pretty good about Norris. I mean, you got Tkachuk there. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. Like, this literally just happened today, and there wasn't too much on it yet, other than at least after the All-Star break. So, you know, if you have a Batherson, make an IR spot for him. You definitely want to keep him. You definitely want to keep him if you can. Like I said, he's a great all-around player, over point per game, over hit per game. Yeah, do what you can. If somebody else has a Batherson, this is the kind of player I like to target in a trade. If you have an open IR spot, maybe make a trade for Batherson, just in case. You might be able to pick him up real cheap. Well, you know, if you look at Daily Faceoff, I was going off Dauber, Frozen Tools, whom I love. Bad graphics still, Dauber. Great site, though. Just taking a quick look here at Daily Faceoff. I also like to use for lineups and that. They've got Batherson listed as been on the second line recently with Zach Sanford on the top line. So if that's the case, that would make sense that Sanford would be on the top line with Tkachuk and Norris. Yeah, it looks like Dauber and Daily Faceoff are saying different things right now, but either way, stick with Josh Norris. Love him. Definitely stash Batherson. That sounds like a weird 70s character, Stash Batherson. Who do we got next on our list? Is anybody out there seeing the movie FUBAR?
As it stands, plan B is just to keep on giving her.
What exactly does that mean?
Give her. You go out and you give her. Like, you work hard. That's what...
Is that a plan?
Yeah, that's a plan right there.
We used to party a lot, but not so much anymore. So
fantastic Canadian film from the early 2000s. Featuring banger characters Terry and Diener. Logan Couture is the next man up. He reminds me a lot of Diener after he cuts his hair off. Check it out. Watch the movie. It's fantastic. Educational. FUBAR. Look it up. Logan Couture's, you know, 6 points in his last 9 games, so whatever. That's about the pace, I think. The last few games, he's been cold, and I don't like it. I don't like him anyways. Early in the season, when San Jose was one of the top scoring teams for a month or so, I was picking up Couture, but I mean, this is more what it's like. Losing Erik Karlsson, who is having a sort of a resurgence this year with the whole rest of the team, losing him is really going to hurt their offense big time. So Couture was a great hold in the first bit of the season. I have very little faith for the rest of the season. They kind of got great out of nowhere to start the season, and that was because all those guys were scoring a lot more than they should. And that's kind of over. He's 68% rostered and dropping. I would consider him more of a solid streamer at this point. He's a center only, so you rarely need to stream an extra center. But if he's got a good schedule, playing a weak team, something like that, and you do need a center, I think he's great. But I'm hoping you don't have a team where you need to hold Logan Couture. Yeah, I don't know. I could eat it for saying this, but I think I would honestly put him at a 55 to 60 point pace for the rest of the season. Not into it. Not into Diener. Couture. I'm into Diener. God, am I ever into Diener. We had a FUBAR party one Halloween where everyone had to dress up as either Terry or Diener, and we are only allowed to drink cans of Pilsner. And you can imagine how that turned out. I'm sure there's pictures on the internet somewhere. That's for another day. So, I mean, on the season, 31 points in 38 games, so that was after a super hot start. He does get a lot of face-offs, so there's that. If you're in a face-offs league, then fine. Hit per game, fine. I mean, if your name's not Timo Meier, I don't really care. I just have a feeling San Jose is going to completely crumble. Too bad, so sad. If you're a Brent Burns owner, you know he's going to be taking all the power play, I'm sure. So I think we'll start to see Burns maybe try to fill in some more of the offense. I mean, he's not the shot monster that he once was. You know, he's obviously way over the hill, but still playing 25 minutes a night. I think you'll start to see Brent Burns take a few more shots with Karlsson out. All in all, I think San Jose is done for. Another Ottawa Senator. Who'd have thought, hey? So many guys in Ottawa to talk about. An exciting team. There's been a lot of talk about a gentleman named Alex Formanton. Good mention. Thanks, Hints Stan on the Discord for mentioning Formanton. And also to Icefire Todd. He also wanted to hear about Formanton as well. He's gone point per game for a bit and 3% owned, so nobody knows about him. Us fantasy hockey nerds love that when you can say, hey, there's a guy who's a point per game and he's totally unowned. That's the hipster hockey in us that wants to find those unknown guys and be the first to crack them. I do not have faith in Formanton. Now, having said that, he has been playing a point per game, but 17 points in 32 games on the season. I think that's more of who Alex Formanton is. He's a big guy. He's 23 years old. He's been with Ottawa for 4 years, and he hasn't been able to get into the lineup over those 4 years. Like, he's played a few games here and there. But if you're a big, strong kid and you've had 4 years to crack Ottawa's lineup, the past 4 years specifically, I mean, you should be able to get into that lineup. So I just don't trust it. With Batherson out and him being hot, maybe they try to squeak him some more time, see what he's made of. I mean, that is the one thing Ottawa has going for them, is it doesn't really matter what their record ends up being. So they're allowed to try weird stuff like that. So that could be the one saving grace that could help his case a lot, is having Batherson out if they try to move him up into the picture. And then fantastic. I mean, and, you know, if you have a guy who is going point per game, especially out of nowhere, especially who's off the wire, hang on to him till it stops. But realistically, we're looking at 4 years of being completely irrelevant, and he's had one decent 10-game stretch here. So, you know, the law of averages would say he's going to regress like a motherfucker. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. I really hope he deals with that little chin beard thing he's got going on there. That is definitely not my style. Next one up here, from our Discord list is Neil Pionk. Thanks, Hook and Scramble, for bringing up Neil Pionk. A couple years ago, everyone thought Neil Pionk was going to be good for a bit, and then he wasn't, and then he was. He went to Winnipeg, and he got really good. He's been a peripheral guy, for sure. And he has put up offense. Now, they do, at different times, like to divvy up the power play and give some to Morrissey, which I hate because Morrissey sucks. But Morrissey's out, so all that time's going to go back to Pionk for now. So I think you'll see him have some extra power play time without any competition there. I mean, Nate Schmidt plays on the power play as well. They actually play all three of those guys a fair amount on the PP. But I just... I don't know. I do like Pionk. I just don't like Winnipeg. I've been kind of waiting for them to come down to earth for the last few years, and they always seem to do quite well. It's kind of fallen apart a bit. They've lost their last four in a row. So just as a team, they haven't been great. They had all the trouble with Blake Wheeler for the whole season's just been not Blake Wheeler whatsoever. There was obviously some stuff going on for Paul Maurice to step down. Great coach, but he left because it wasn't working. That's how bad it wasn't working, is the coach just wanted to go. Pionk's been okay. I think, like, he's going to be a great peripheral player always. He loves to hit. He had 9 hits last game. So what are you going to say about that? Like, 9 hits. He shoots a fair amount. I think that's going to pick up with Morrissey out. You'll get a few more PP shots. You know, he blocks 2 times a game at least. To me, the whole team has been kind of weird since Laine left, oddly enough. They just kind of, they had everything so built around this young star, Laine, coming in. And it seems like when that didn't work out, the whole plan fell apart. But Pionk, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be dropping him. Maybe if you could buy low on him, I would even do that. I feel like Pionk is going to be okay. And if you're expecting a ton of offense out of Pionk, then you made a mistake there. You shouldn't have expected that. He's a decent offensive defenseman, gets some PP points, but he's about the peripherals, which he has been doing. So if someone's really sad that he hasn't been getting points, then maybe you can buy low, because I think the points will come up from where they've been. And his peripherals are always there, and that's really what you want him for. So Pionk in it. I'd expect probably about a 50-point pace here on out, maybe. Like, that might be even generous, the way they've been playing. This is my favorite thing ever that I've ever got to do on 5-Hole right now. Being alone in a soundproof room where I get to just sit here and talk about Jason Robertson for a minute. People were asking about J-Rob in the Discord. The question has been, is the guy for real? Is Jason Robertson for real? And... the fuck do you think? Yes, absolutely. I don't know what it is. People are very skeptical about Jason Robertson. I mean, we've been talking about the guy forever. Since halfway through his first season, he was like, who's this guy? He's Jason Robertson on Dallas? What? Because Dallas, you know, Dallas's offense is up and down, usually down. You know, that was when COVID was running hot. Players were coming and going. On Dallas, they had injuries, people were in and out, Sagan was gone, all these things were happening. And with all the drama around the team, no one noticed really that J-Rob was just quietly getting 1 point, maybe 2 points every game. Since coming into the league, I'm going to just go ahead and say he's a point per game. He's like 1 point shy, but point per game on his 2-year career now. I mean, he played a couple games previous year, but basically had a 2-year career, and he's a point per game. So we started talking about him about halfway through last year. We kept following him, and it was the same thing. And he did have a slow start in the first bit, and then he just scored all the time. So it kind of went like, who is this guy? Is he still going? And it was like, holy shit, he might win Rookie of the Year. And then it was like, who is this? Who the fuck is this guy? I found out after the season, I didn't even know. It was Nick Robertson's brother from Toronto. Yeah, man, he's 38 points in 31 games played this year. So he's on a 101-point pace this season. 101-point pace this season. I mean, he's as legit as can be. What's even crazier is he's possibly the most consistent scorer in the NHL in the last 2 years. That sounds like an exaggeration, but it actually isn't. This season, he has not gone three games in a row without a point. That's it. He hasn't had a three-game pointless streak this season. Last season, his whole career, I guess you could say, he had one four-game stretch without a point, and that was it. Other than that, same thing. It was like every game, 1 point. No huge outbursts, no zeros. So, yeah, I mean, the guy's great. He's not flashy. That was the thing. He had guys like Kaprizov and people like that last season who would come out with these huge games and then disappear for a while and come out with these huge games and huge weeks and disappear for a while. Tolvanen was kind of like that, and he's disappeared all season now. But Robertson, just like steady as she goes, didn't end up winning. Obviously, Kaprizov deserved it and all that, but Robertson is a way safer player and just steady as can be. The team believes in him. He's become, you know, one of their best players, plays 18, 19 minutes a night, scoring spread out between goals and assists. Now he's finally getting some power play time. He's shooting anywhere from 3 to 6 times a game and a hit and a block a night. So absolutely love the kid. And actually, you know what? When he had a four-game pointless streak, that four-game set was back-to-back against Florida and back-to-back against Tampa Bay. Florida and Tampa Bay are freaking devastating. That's what it took to get this guy to not score early in his rookie season. So in case you hadn't noticed, Raj loves Robertson. I did the thing where you type a tweet, delete it, type a tweet, delete it. Type a tweet, delete it. I was getting so frustrated because there's a bunch of people on Twitter. There's so many like wannabe hockey analysts on Twitter right now. It's ridiculous. But a whole bunch of people say, why is nobody talking about Jason Robertson? I swear I'm discovered Jason Robertson. Like, come on. We've been talking about the guy for a year and a half. He's incredible. People should be talking about him. But those people who like realize something and think that nobody else knows. Like anyways. Rant over. That's why I pay an extra $3 a month for Twitter Blue. If you don't have Twitter Blue, you should get it. I think it's only available in Canada, maybe. Twitter Blue, you can like, it gives you 30 seconds to delete your tweet. So if you rage tweet, you can actually undo it for 30 seconds. Fantastic feature. Gives you the satisfaction of hitting send tweet or whatever. I can't even remember what it says. But then gives you a little clock and you have a little window to undo it. Or if you make a mistake or whatever. Fantastic feature. Very Canadian feature. Makes sense. This is the place that has it. TJ was saying they don't have it in the States. Kind of the Canadian, I'm sorry, feature. From Twitter Blue to the St. Louis Blues. How's that for a segue? The goalies. When the question came up a couple of days ago, you know, what do you think of the goalie controversy in St. Louis? As of right now, it was pretty lopsided controversy. As of right now, I saw Husso play against the Canucks the other night, and he looked pretty good. He looked solid, like there's nothing wrong with him. He did fine. Canucks laid it to him with shots, but they were not good shots. It was not as lopsided of a game. Like St. Louis controlled that game, even though the Canucks had like, I think 20 shots in the first period. But Husso looked good. The old eye test, definitely confident. Husso is better right now. Bennington then the next night went on and just got lit up. Made me feel so happy. In like a very like childish kind of way. But the next night, they went on to Calgary. 10 GA for Bennington. 7 goals against, 800 save percentage. You know, his previous game to that, Bennington had another L. 850 save percentage. So, I mean, his last two starts have both been sub 900, 800 and 850, 13 goals against, and St. Louis's only 2 losses in their last 8 games have been Bennington's. All the Husso games have been wins. I don't know. Call it a controversy if you will. As of right now, there's no controversy. It is Husso's net, and they would be crazy to act otherwise. So that's that. I mean, you can look at any kind of stats you want, but just as of right now, Husso is playing fantastic and the team's winning. Bennington is playing terrible and the team's losing. And now Bennington, as we all have seen, he's got a toot on him. He's got a real chip on his shoulder. I mean, he's just been put right in his place. You know, initially what got Bennington into the lineup you know, that famous run they went on to win the cup from worst to first from January on kind of thing. It was supposed to be Husso the next one called up, but when they needed a goalie, Husso was out. So Binnington got a chance as an old goalie. I think he was 24 when he got his first shot. And his arrogance, basically his competitive, I'm the best attitude, he kind of knew it was his last chance to make it in the league. And he put everything into it. And I mean, the rest is history. All the way to the Stanley Cup. I mean, he's obviously a good goalie. And we all love to poke fun at him because he's such a dick. But he's obviously a good goalie. He can't pull that out of nowhere. Another decent season. But as of right now, definitely Husso's net. Moving forward for the rest of the season, I have a feeling it would probably end up being about 50-50. You know, honestly, I think it's going to be 50-50 unless Husso just goes lights out from here on out and actually takes over for the rest of the season. But I think when it's all said and done, I'd put it probably closer to 50-50, maybe leaning a little more on Husso. I don't know why I feel strongly about it, but I just feel like he's a good goalie. The eye test really helped me on that one, seeing him in person. He looked good. And St. Louis looks great. There you go. Husso for now. And a big thanks to Brave Traveler for bringing up Jordan Binnington, the disaster artist. Thanks a lot, buddy. Always love to have an excuse to diss the Binner. He's probably laying around on a waiver wire. I would pick him up. Just take a look here. Ville Husso. So Husso's up to 52% rostered now, so he's still available in half of leagues. On the season, he's got a 943 with a 1.88 GA. So the numbers are there. Obviously, he hasn't played as much. It's kind of the reverse situation where now he's the one who has to come in and keep the net that he was able to kind of injure his way into. You know, the team needed him, and similar to when Binnington came in, he took the bull by the horns and all kinds of other cliches and went all the way. So hopefully, I don't know. I like Husso a lot better than I like Binnington. And I'm just looking at his save percentages right now. Like, it's pretty crazy. 963, 969. Down game was a 914. Shutout, 974. Shutout. So the guy's on fire. Pick him up. Rush to the wire tomorrow, today, right now. Take the day off work. Go pick up Ville Husso. Now, that's all I've got in terms of our Discord players. So keep those things coming in, guys. We like it a lot. Helps us a lot. You can find us at FHF Hockey on Twitter. Join us on the Discord. Please join us on the Discord. It's such a good time. Follow us on YouTube. Rate and review us on Spotify, please. Give us a 5. We'll buy you a nothing, but we'll sure like you a lot. You can now rate on Spotify, only on your phone. So yeah, if you could, helps us out a lot. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts as well. I'm just going to check in on the Canucks Oilers game right now. Much expected. Actually, Spencer Martin's holding up again. You want to see a fine looking profile picture? Check out that manicured beard on Spencer Martin. Nice. Draisaitl with a goal. McLeod with a goal tonight. Nuge with an assist already. What do we got for the Canucks? Oh, Pettersson with another goal. And my man Tyler Mott with another goal. JT Miller's back and he got an assist tonight. Excellent. Tied up. Anyways, that part of the show is just for me. Yeah, it's in overtime, actually. I'm going to go now. Watch overtime. I'll see you guys. Love you.